Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. European gas prices soar after Gazprom halts supplies to Poland and Bulgaria. This, Russia using the energy weapon. But there's a detail here that is critical to understand. Subhead, Russian Energy Group says it has not received payment in rubles as decreed under new law. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who weeks before identified what we're now witnessing, which is Russia's need for foreign currency, for the foreign reserves that are not available because since sanctions were visited upon the Kremlin in the early days of the Ukraine conflict, a bulk of the Russian foreign reserves that are held overseas, that would be at the Federal Reserve or in Japan or in Switzerland, are not something they can reach. They only have the gold that's in the Russian Central Bank in Moscow, and maybe some of the foreign reserves and renminbis, but not dollars, euros, Swiss dollars, yen, all the good stuff. Now, Russia wants its Gazprom paid in rubles. How does that help? If they need dollars, how does it help to demand that you pay in rubles, which, by the way, are not convertible? They're not floatable. They're good for what you can get in Russia, not in not in Switzerland or not in Paris. Michael, a very good evening to you. This is a game that you instructed several weeks ago. How does it work? Why does Russia want the payment in rubles? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. There is a political side and the economic side. And the political side is that the Russians are saying, oh, the ruble is our national currency. Everyone should pay in rubles. And they don't need rubles. But they want everyone to genuflect. They want everyone to cave in. They want everyone to recognize that Russia is important. So they say, you are playing by our own rules. But in reality, what happens is that the procedure is very, very simple. The Russian government sets up two accounts, two bank accounts. And it says you pay the same way as you used to pay, in euros, in dollars, in Swiss francs, whatever you've been paying. Pay into your account with our bank. That's it, and forget it. We take those dollars. We take those euros. We convert them into rubles. We give them to the producers. The producers pay wages. So nothing changes to you except that you sort of cave in. You pretend that you respect us. But you don't buy rubles. We are selling your dollars, you pay directly to the Russian government. So there is this political side. And then it is a choice for European countries to be proud, like the Poles, like the Bulgarians, and say, we're not playing your game. Or to be like the Italians, who said today, that all right, nothing changes to us. We don't violate the sanctions. The sanctions are saying pay in euros, and we're paying in euros, and we don't know what happens next. So this is what we're talking about, the national pride of the Russian government and the national pride of European governments. The question is, why would the Russians do it? Because they do not trust their own oil producers and their own natural gas producers who don't want to bring their revenues back. They sell oil, they sell natural gas, and they leave the money elsewhere. They leave the money in Europe. They leave the money in the Middle East. So the Russian government is saying, all right, you pay directly to the Russian government. We control the money.
The Russian government then has found a way not to solve the sanctions, but to give maneuvering room to people who want to buy Russian gas. That's what they're providing. And they leave it up to the country to decide whether they will or will not play the Russian game. If I understand you correctly, Poland has said, Warsaw has said, no, we won't play. But Rome has said, we will. That leaves it to the other countries in Europe to make those individual decisions. However, they need natural gas. And Gazprom is saying, unless you pay us in rubles, right? Gazprom says, unless you pay us in rubles mandated by our law, we can't sell your natural gas. So that's the game. Is that simple?
Yes, that's exactly right. And what happens is then the countries decide how proud they are and how much they depend on Russian natural gas and how much they can get from other sources, because oil, natural gas, all commodities are fungible. So if the Russians don't sell it to Poland, they sell it elsewhere, right. And the people who buy it elsewhere, they can buy it from Russia, and then those people who sell to Russia, Qatar or Turkey or Norway, then they sell it to Poland. So the Bulgarian sale right will buy from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan sells natural gas. That's it. So Italy is more dependent on the Russian gas, and Italy has decided to play the game.
The Russian Central Bank. We're always pleased to focus on the Russian Central Bank's creative ways to avoid catastrophe. We talked last week about how the clock is ticking on the Russian sovereign debt. At the same time, the Russian Central Bank is trying to control what looks to be runaway inflation. It depends on where you read the story. Sometimes they say the RCB is controlling it. Sometimes they say that there's no control of it. How do you measure right now, Michael, the inflation inside the country?
Inflation inside the country is high. At the moment, they're saying that it will be over 20%, but it will be higher. One of the big reasons is exactly the sanctions, that they've discovered how much they were dependent in many inputs and in foodstuffs on imports, and now they cannot get those imports, so domestic prices are going up. Feed for animals is going up, so all animal products are going up. So generally, they may have very high inflation, and another thing, they will have shortages because some of the products are not available.
And the Russian Central Bank, its challenge is to find a way around its inability to reach its foreign reserves. How is that management going, to your measure? Because you identified this before the war, and here we are, a living experiment of your analysis. Are there surprises to you, Michael?
Well, there were quite a few surprises. No, the biggest surprise for me is not what happens in Russia. The biggest surprise to me is how much Western private companies join the sanctions with boycotts, that even the products that are not subject to sanctions, like transportation of Russian oil, the companies themselves have decided not to do it. And so the Russians are taking a lot of discounts in China, in Malaysia, in India to sell oil on the cheap, not because of the sanctions, but because Western companies are doing it. But the Russian Central Bank and the Russian government found a good way for themselves to get more dollars, exactly because they want to be paid directly. So all the game to pay in rubles is not about rubles and dollars. It is about who you pay. If you pay to the producers, if you pay to the suppliers of oil, natural gas, they keep the money not in Russia. They keep the money in Western banks. If you pay in Russia, you pay to the Russian government. Right. That's how the Russian government gets dollars.
So that's the workaround that they've come up with. And to your read right now, we have less than a minute. Is there a sanction that could stop that? Or is it just that's the limit of sanctions?
No, the limit of sanctions will be when the Russian economy starts to decline because of the lack of components, lack of inputs, and now the World Bank predicts 11% contraction this year.
Michael Bernstam, he is the Hoover Institution, helping me understand the sanctions regime visited upon the Russian Federation and the creative way, at this point, desperate way, winking way, Russia is sustaining its economy in the face of decline. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.